brethren. Genesis chapter 12. I'll just read one verse here. Verse 4, it says, "So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." Now Abraham believed God. We're told that in the scriptures. He walked by faith all the way to the end, trusting Christ alone. He persevered in faith until the end. And all who are given faith to believe on Christ will continue trusting Him. We'll believe on Him to the end. And those who do believe Christ, and truly faith is trusting Christ is our only righteousness. It's what faith is. It's coming to Christ, trusting Him alone for all our acceptance with God to keep us, to save us, beginning to end, to save us. And all who do, all who truly rest in Christ are the children of Abraham. You're the true children of Abraham. Abraham's called the father of the faithful, and he's our father. The first one after the flood that God called, made his promise to, and taught, revealed Christ to. And the object of his faith was not his faith. It was not his faith or his consistency or his obedience, or it was not anything of himself. The object of his faith was Christ, his righteousness. That was the object of his faith. My subject is faith's glory. Who does faith glory in? Faith's glory. That's my subject. Now, true faith that God gives glories only in God our Father and His Son, Christ Jesus, our righteousness. He's the one we glory in. True faith comes to Christ, confessing that all our works are wrought in God. We come to Christ confessing all our works, all the works whereby we hope to be accepted of God, are worked in God our Savior. So Romans 3:27 says, "Where is boasting then?" It's excluded. Is it excluded by the law of works, by the principle of works? No, it's excluded by faith. It's excluded by believing on Christ. So I want to see who faith glories in. Now, first of all, faith excludes boasting in our works, even in our faith, because true faith believes we're righteous by Christ's faith alone. We believe we're righteous by Christ alone, by His faithfulness. Now, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram," the Lord had said unto Abram, "Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee." Abraham's called to go, and the Lord even says, "I will show thee the land." He says, "And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." This was Christ's word to Abraham. This was Christ speaking to Abraham. Let me show you that. Acts 7. And hold your place in Acts 7. I'm going to come back here. But Acts 7, this is when Stephen was speaking. And he said, "Men and brethren," verse 2, "Men and brethren, fathers, hearken. The God of glory appeared unto our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia," that is Ur, "before he dwelt in Haran. The God of glory appeared to him." The God of glory did. Now go to John 8. This is what got me looking at this. John 8. And I want you to see what Christ said here in John 8, verse 39. He's speaking to the Pharisees. And he said to them, they answered him, verse 39, and said unto him, "Abraham is our father." Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, now they're natural children, but he's saying, if you were children of faith, if you were true children of Abraham, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me. Now watch this. A man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. Now read that again. The Lord said, he's saying here, I appeared to Abraham. And I came to Abraham and preached to Abraham what the Father gave me to preach to Abraham. See that? Here I'm a man that hath told you the truth, which I've heard of God, and you're seeking to kill me. This is not what Abraham did. When Christ appeared to Abraham, that's not what Abraham did. It was Christ, the God of glory, who appeared to Abraham. He came to Abraham preaching the everlasting covenant that the Father gave him to proclaim and to fulfill. He came to Abraham declaring to him that in Christ, all Abraham and all God's elect were going to be blessed in all the nations of the earth. That's what he said to him. You're going to be a blessing to all the nations of the earth. Not Abraham himself, but the fact that Christ was coming through Abraham. And so he'd be a blessing. You remember when Paul was speaking to the Galatians, he said the gospel was preached before to Abraham. And he said, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. And then he said, in thy seed, and he said, in that seed's Christ. And when our Lord appeared to Abraham, he was preaching to Abraham. It was Christ doing it, a pre-incarnate appearance of him. He's the God of glory. And he's declaring to Abraham, I will bless you, Abraham. I will make you a blessing. I will bless all nations through you. Because it was through Abraham that Christ was coming. His name is Jesus, for he shall save his people from our sins. And so it was only by this revelation, by Christ speaking the word effectually and revealing himself to Abraham, that Abraham was given faith to believe. And that's the only way any sinner is given faith to believe. Christ comes and speaks the word in power. And he said there in John 8, down in John 8:56, Christ said, Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and he was glad. And so when Paul, after he talked about us not glorying in our faith or glorying in our works, he said this, what shall we say then that Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, has found? If Abraham was justified by works, he had worth to glory, but not before God. For what said the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him for righteousness. Abraham, when the Lord called him, he believed God. He believed the Lord. Trusted all his salvation into his hand. And through faith, the Lord imputed the righteousness of Christ to him. Christ was Abraham's righteousness. So there was no other one to glory in but Christ. Faith lays hold of Christ and says, he's my only righteousness. He's the only one I can glory in. All my works are wrought in him. All my works are wrought by him. He made me the righteousness of God. Now go back to Genesis 12 and look at this next thing. True faith boasts not even in our faith, not our works, not in our faith, because even our faith is the gift of God. It says there in verse 1, the Lord has said to Abraham. Now where was Abraham before this? Abraham was a spiritually dead sinner in the land of Ur, worshiping idols. Listen to Joshua 24:2. Joshua 24:2 says, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, your fathers dwelt on the other side of the flood in old time, even Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor, and they served other gods. Abraham didn't choose God. God chose Abraham. And it wasn't because God saw some merit in Abraham or because he saw some foreseen faith in Abraham. Had he not come to Abraham and preached the gospel to Abraham, Abraham would have never had faith to believe. He would have kept on worshiping his idols. Abraham wasn't seeking God. God came seeking him. Remember, the Lord said, I'm found of them that seek me not. He came to Abraham seeking Abraham. He chose Abraham by his free and sovereign grace in Christ in eternity. He predestinated them until this exact time right here that the Lord appeared to him and declared the gospel and revealed himself to him. God's call quickened Abraham. God's word quickened Abraham, gave him life. And with that life, revealing Christ in him, he gave him faith to believe on Christ. So we can't boast in our faith. That's the gift of God. This is Ephesians 2:4. But God, who's rich in mercy for his great love wherewith he loved us, not because of anything in his people, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved. And then he says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We would just glory and glory in ourselves. If even our faith was of us, we would glory in it. We would trust in it. And you hear men preach faith as if there is some intrinsic excellency in faith itself that justifies the sinner. Faith, true faith, finds all its justification in Christ. And true faith doesn't even boast in its faith because it's the gift of God. We're made willing in the day of his power. John 3:21 says, our Lord said, he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they're wrought in God. That tells you that if somebody professes to believe, and yet they're putting some confidence in their fact that they believe, or they made a choice, or they made some decision, or there's something about their works, or there's something about themselves that commends them, that's not true faith. Because the Lord said, this is what it is to do truth. It's to come to Christ confessing all our works are wrought in him. They're wrought in him, they're wrought by him. So this thing of faith doesn't boast because Christ is all our righteousness. And then faith doesn't boast in our faith because it's the gift of God to us. It's all by grace. He gave us life. He gave us faith. And then three, look at this. True faith boasts only in God because he alone makes us obedient. He alone makes us obedient. He alone grows us in faith. Now look, notice it said, the Lord had said unto Abraham. Now, Abraham believed Christ immediately when the Lord called him. When he calls you, when he gives you faith, you believe him. I heard somebody just recently speaking of this and how that they came into a church service and they didn't believe the Lord, and they had all these questions, and they really said they just determined not to believe him. And as they heard the gospel preached, they began to believe him, and they could not believe him. They just found that they believed him. And that's when he calls you, you believe him. And you can't stop believing him. But now watch this. He obeyed, but there was a lot of unbelief mixed with his faith. And he didn't obey fully. Look here back at Genesis 11 in verse 31. Terah, that's Abraham's father, he took Abraham his son and Lot the son of Haran, his son's son, and Sarah his daughter-in-law, his son Abraham's wife, and they went forth with them from Ur of the Chaldees to go into the land of Canaan, and they came to Haran and they dwelt there. So God had commanded Abraham to part from Ur, told him to leave Ur. And Abraham believed God. And it says here, but Terah, his father, took Abraham, and when they got to Haran, they didn't go all the way to Canaan. When they got to Haran, they stopped, and they stayed in Haran, and they stayed there 5 years. He believed God. He believed God. In Ur, Hebrews 11 says, by faith he left Ur. He believed God, but he stopped in Haran. He didn't go to Canaan. God said, depart from your kindred and from your father's house. He told him to leave his father and his father's house. He didn't do that. He took his father. His father went with him. And many more in the house went. God said, go to Canaan, but he stopped in Haran. Now, how was Abraham made obedient to go to Canaan? What made him go on to Canaan? If God had left him, he would have stayed in Haran, just like he'd have stayed in Ur. What made him go on to Canaan? God took his father. His father died. God took his father and God moved him to Canaan. Go to, back to Acts 7. Back to Acts 7. And look at verse 4. Let's read verse 3. He said to him, "Get thee out of thy country, from thy kindred, come into the land which I will show thee." And then came he out of the land of the Chaldeans and dwelt in Haran. He came there and he stayed there 5 years. And from thence, when his father was dead, now look at this next word, he removed him into this land. You know who removed him? God removed him. God had told him, go to Canaan. And when God took his father, God moved him and removed him into Canaan. So you can see where you now dwell. I was thinking of this when I saw that Abraham's father died. And I know we've got some believers here whose brethren, family have died. And that's always sad. It's always sad when somebody you love dies. But just like God blessed that to Abraham and grew him in faith, God's blessing every sorrow we have in this world to grow us more dependent on him and less dependent on the things of this world. He's doing that in everything. God blessed him by taking his father, as sorrowful as it was. Now, Genesis 12 and verse 4 says, "So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him." You see that? The Lord had said to Abraham, get out. But it was only after his father died. And so Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken. And Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abraham took Sarah his wife and Lot his brother's son and all their substance that they had gathered and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go to the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And then he gets to Canaan. And the Lord continued to grow Abraham in faith. He gets to Canaan and it reveals more of God's purpose in Christ to him. He's growing him in faith, growing him in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how faith's grown. Verse 7, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, now he had not said this before. Now he says to him, unto thy seed will I give this land. Now Galatians 3:15-16 tells us that seed is Christ. He said, and to thy seed, not seeds as plural, but to thy seed. That seed's Christ. You see, all these promises God made to Abraham, God made these promises to Christ, his son, in eternity before he made these promises to anybody. And all these promises are worked out by Christ fulfilling all righteousness. And he comes and gives us these promises, and they're all in him. So when he said here, I'll give this land to thy seed, he's speaking of, he'd given everything to Christ. Christ is the heir of God, and those that believe him are joint heirs with him of everything that belongs to Christ. So when he revealed this to him, there builded he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. He built an altar unto the Lord who appeared to him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Now we know Christ is our altar. He built this altar because it's a type of Christ. It's through faith in Christ's precious blood, Christ's sacrifice. That's what the altar was for sacrifice. Saying, I can only come to God through blood. I can only come to God through the blood of a lamb. And this altar is a picture of Christ. He's the only way we can come to God. And the more God reveals Christ to us, that's, he grows us in the grace of Christ and the knowledge of Christ. And that's how Abraham was grown in faith. Before, he only went so far and he stopped. Here he's in Canaan now, and he built an altar, and he began to worship the Lord. He went a little further, built another altar, worshiped the Lord. You see him growing in faith. He's growing him in faith. As God reveals Christ to us more, he grows us to obey the word of the Lord more. He grows us to glory only in the obedience of Christ Jesus the faithful, by whom we're justified. You get that? The obedience of faith is glorying in Christ's obedience, by whom we're justified. It's glorying only in Christ, trusting Christ. Now, fourthly, So we can't glory because Christ is all our righteousness. Faith believes that. Two, we know that the life and the faith He's given us to trust Christ came of Him. Three, all our obedience to follow Him and walk by faith is of Him, growing us in grace, growing us to see Christ more, to follow Christ more. You don't come out, you don't just speak the word, and like Lazarus, he didn't just come out of the tomb without some traces of the tomb on him. You still have grave clothing. You still are a child with a sin nature. And so he's going to keep growing you in grace, trusting Christ. And everything he's taken from you, everything that he's taken away, he's teaching us more and more to depend on Christ only. Well, here's another reason we can't glory in any but the Lord our righteousness. It's because by trials, the Lord teaches us that it's only by the Lord's faithfulness that we're kept. Now that, immediately, when God gave him faith, immediately he had a trial. Because he loved his father, he loved his kindred, he probably loved the land where he lived, and the Lord told him to leave it. So that immediately was a trial to Abraham. Immediately. And he brought him through that, he brought him out, but as soon as he gets out and gets into Canaan, here comes another trial. Look here, verse 10. And there was a famine in the land. Where'd that come from? Global warming, climate change. It came from God. God sovereignly sent a famine. And Abraham went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. God sent this famine by his sovereign hand to try Abraham's faith. That's why he sent it. That's why God sends every trouble, every trial that we encounter is to try his child's faith. That's why it is. And it's to teach Abraham, and this is what he's teaching us every single time. It was not Abraham holding on to Christ. It was Christ's faithfulness holding on to Abraham. That's what we're going to learn. Abraham had the word of the Lord telling him to abide in Canaan. That's what he had. He had the word of the Lord. We have the word of the Lord telling us, look to Christ alone. Look to Christ alone. Don't look from Christ. Look to Christ. Walk by faith, not by sight. Look to Christ. Trust Christ. Follow Christ. And what do? We do just what Abraham did. Just what he did. Abraham discerned what he ought to do by providence alone. Seeing the famine, he headed for Egypt. Now, he had people to feed. You and I would have done the same thing. I'd have done the same thing. I'd have went to Egypt. If you're in a land that's in a grievous famine and you see a place that's got plenty, we're going there. We're going there. And then again, when he gets down there, he discerns by providence again. Usual way of the Egyptians. He's thinking about what the Egyptians would do. He's judging by providence, not judging by God's word. And I'll show you this. And so Abraham said to Sarah, verse 11, he said, "Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon." Sarah was pretty. "And therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, they shall say, this is his wife, and they'll kill me," Abraham said. "But they'll save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee." Now, how is this judging providence rather than judging by God's word, rather than discerning by God's word? Abraham said, "They're going to see how beautiful you are, and they're going to know you're my wife, and they're going to kill me." That's impossible. How do you know it's impossible? Because God just got through speaking the word to Abraham and said, "Unto thy seed will I give this land." Abraham can't die. Sarah can't die. God's promise is in Christ, that Christ is coming. Oh, it's going to be well with Abraham, and Abraham's life's going to be spared, but it's not going to be because of Sarah, and it's not going to be because of Abraham's scheming. It's going to be because God's promise is in Christ, and God's word can't fail, and Christ is coming through Abraham, and for the sake of Christ, Abraham's life is going to be spared. That's our gospel. That's our gospel. Why are we spared? Why are we kept? Why are we kept believing Christ? Because Christ is our righteousness. He's the one in whom all God's promises are yes and amen. And nothing can separate His child from the love of God in Christ. It's not the things that happen to us outwardly. It's not the things that happen to us, you know, when God says no harm's coming to you. It don't mean that we might not suffer some harm in His flesh. But that's not harming us. Because through that, God is enriching us in faith to depend more on Christ and less on us. As He does every time He's doing that. So Abraham, he ends up in sin and unbelief because he's discerning by providence rather than obeying the word of the Lord. Rather than just believing the word of the Lord. It looked bad. But it's always a mistake to try to discern by providence alone rather than God's word. Let me give you this to you from Ecclesiastes 8. This is Solomon. He said, "When I applied my heart to know wisdom and to see the business that's done upon the earth, for also there is that neither day nor night see asleep with his eyes." He said, I'd applied my heart, but I want to try to figure out what God's doing in providence. And then I beheld all the work of God, that a man cannot find out the work that's done under the sun. Because though a man labor to seek it out, yet he shall not find it. Yet further, though a wise man think to know it, yet shall he not be able to find it. He's saying, I don't know what God's going to do in providence. And I don't know what He's doing in providence. And listen to this now. "For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. No man knoweth either love or hatred by all that's before him in providence. All things come alike to all. There's one event to the righteous and to the wicked." Remember the psalmist, how he began to be envious of the wicked? He said, "They're prospering better than I am, and here I am suffering." And then you'll look another time and you may see God's child prospering and someone else suffering. And sometimes you find God's child prospering and it's not a blessing. It's not. It's going to be harm to him. But then you find him suffering and it is a blessing. So we judge by the word of God. His promises in Christ that his people, he going to save his people. And whatever he's doing for his people is going to bring in glory to his name. And it's for the good of his people. We can rest in that word. We can rest in that promise. And we know whatever he's doing, it's going to end good for his people. But now listen, is this Abraham? Is this the father of the faithful? Is this the one who had faith so strong that he was able to take his only son Isaac up there and lay him on an altar? And in his heart, he killed that boy. Was this the same man that had that faith that's doing this right here? This is so instructive for us to see this. Because it shows us that the strength of faith depends not on the man, but on the Lord who upholds him. If we really glory in the Lord, we have to say the only difference between Abraham right here in sin and unbelief and Abraham in faith doing what God gave him to do was the difference God made then. This was just Abraham in sin and unbelief. And God uses this so that, you know, if we're honest with the scriptures, I've heard preachers, when I grew up, we had country cable. We only got 3 channels, maybe 4 if everything was just right. But you could find a preacher any time. At some point during the day, you could find some preaching on TV. It just was very common when I was growing up in the South. Preaching, and on Sundays it was all day. And I can't tell you how many times I've heard preachers say, when bad things are happening to you, it's because you don't have enough faith. And those people that are having good things happen to them, it's because they got a lot of faith. That's exactly the opposite of what Solomon's saying. He said, you can't tell by what God's doing. Believe God. Believe God. He's going to work good for his people. For the sake of his son, for the sake of Christ in whom Abraham and Sarah were righteous, God did what he always does. He brought Abraham to the end of himself. Pharaoh took Sarah into his house, thinking that this is Abraham's sister, to be a part of his harem. And you know that had to have just broke Abraham's heart and brought him to the end of himself. I have messed up royally. But God overruled Abraham and Sarah's sin for their good. God plagued Pharaoh and plagued his house and Sarah was the only one that wasn't plagued out of everybody. And Pharaoh put two and two together and he realized this thing has to do with Sarah. And so he figured out what Abraham had done and God moved it into Pharaoh's heart to where Pharaoh commanded his men to take Abraham and give him a guided escort all the way out of Egypt to make sure he got out of Egypt. So God safely delivered Abraham out of Egypt using Pharaoh and his men. And not only that, Pharaoh gave Abraham a bunch of stuff. He gave him sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. This is probably where Hagar entered the picture right here. But you know what? God even overruled that for Sarah and Abraham's good and for our good to see and learn that those things, how to look at the Old Testament scriptures as an allegory and see pictures and types of Christ through what he did with Hagar. But then he delivered Abraham out of Egypt and he brought him back to the altar to worship God. He says there in Genesis 13:1, Abraham went up out of Egypt. He and his wife and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. And Abram was very rich in cattle and silver and gold, and truthfully more rich in grace because he held God's faithfulness to him in spite of him. And he went on his journey from the south to Bethel unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning. This is where God brought him back to, right where he had been, between Bethel and Ai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first, and there Abram called on the name of the Lord. God made him see his own sin, his own weakness, his own fear, his own disobedience, his own insufficiency. God made him see, left to himself, Abraham forsook God and went to Egypt. He looked to his own wisdom, his own will, and his own works. And God let Abraham get a real good, sad, bad introduction to himself, now that he's a believer, to see exactly what he yet still is. But God also made Abraham see that God abides faithful. And that enriched Abraham more than the things Pharaoh gave him. Now here's something to remember. Faith's never perfect. Faith's never perfect in us. Believers are sinners. But for the sake of Christ Jesus, our righteousness, God will not forsake the children of his grace. He will not. Listen to 2 Timothy 2:13. If we believe not, that's what we see in Abraham right here. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Do you see the faithfulness by which Abraham was saved? Just in this one instance right here, we see that it wasn't Abraham's faithfulness by which he was saved. It was God's faithfulness. God gave him the faith. God grew him in the faith. God made him obedient in faith. And God saved him by his faithfulness even when Abraham didn't believe him and ended up down in Egypt. He said, I'm the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. Are not consumed. Now let me show you one more thing, and this is a blessing right here. Go with me to Hebrews 11. We see all this sin and unbelief in Abraham. From the time God called him, he didn't fully obey. He didn't do what God told him to. Took his family with him, only went to Haran. Then when he got to Canaan, God sent the famine. He ends up down in Egypt. See, all this sin in Abraham, but under the everlasting covenant of grace, that's what we read in the New Testament. We see what a believer is under the everlasting covenant of grace. And let's see how God saw Abraham in Christ. How does God describe Abraham and what Abraham did? We just saw what Abraham did, what he really did. We saw old Abraham and new Abraham in everything we just looked at. But what did God see? This is what he said. Hebrews 11:8. By faith, Abram, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing where he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. God makes no mention of Abraham's sin and unbelief. Only the works of faith that God wrought in Abraham. Why? Because it's only due to the faithful obedience of Christ, who was his righteousness, who purged all that sin from Abraham. He purged all that sin from God's sight that we just saw in Abraham. And God only saw him in the righteousness of Christ and only regarded the works of faith that God wrought in him. Another time, Abraham and Sarah turned to their works and they produced that son through Hagar. God's promised, I'm giving you a son, Isaac, and they got tired of waiting and they went to Hagar, and you know how that turned out. And we see all that sin for years. That was for years. That was a relation of fornication, is all that was. It was, he took a second wife. And Ishmael was an illegitimate son before God. That whole relationship was sin beginning to end. Total unbelief. This is how God records it in Romans 4, verse 19. Being not weak in faith, Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able also to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. No mention of any of that. Sarah, if you're still there in Hebrews 11, remember when God said, Sarah, you're going to have a son. Sarah laughed. I can't have a child. She laughed about that. I'm barren. I can't have a child. Look how God records it under the everlasting covenant of grace. Hebrews 11:11. Through faith also Sarah herself received strength to conceive seed and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. By God's gift, we believe on Christ, we obey, and we walk by faith until the end. By God, by God's gift, that's what believers are going to do. That's what we're going to do. But we dare not boast in our faith or our works or our strength. Faith glories that Christ is our righteousness alone. God grows us in the grace and knowledge of the Lord so that we hate our sin more. We walk more by faith and less by sight. We put less confidence in our flesh and rejoice more in Christ alone. But faith glorying is not our faith. It's not anything of ourselves. It's Christ, the shield of faith. He's the shield of faith, Christ. Faith, ever so small, and even when it don't even appear to exist, what's the shield that's going to protect you? Christ. He's the shield of faith. He's the reward, the rewarder, and he is the reward of faith. Christ is. And faith glories only in the Lord. Only in the Lord. I pray the Lord to bless that.